Well, let's get started, and other folks will join us. I think we've probably got about 15 folks on the call today. So many people are on therapist summer vacation or Rubenfeld synergist summer vacation or whatever. But practice building is a year-round, never-take-a-break kind of event, so we'll just get that straight right up front. Tonight we're going to be talking about a couple of things in new content. We're going to dig deeper into why helping professionals have such a hard time building a practice and see if there's any insight you can glean to forward your progress. We've got a little contest we're going to announce later in the call, and we might get into a conversation about what's your special sauce. So that's a headline list of what you can look forward to on our call. I want to first review the homework that we had for last week and get some results and see what you all got from that. So there are a couple of things that I wanted you to do. One was to make a VIP list of your best referral sources. Second piece was to keep a log of those interactions with those referral sources and just see if having a regular attention to caring for all those folks made a lot of sense. And the third one was to continue to check in with your partner and to make sure you have a strong, supportive partner relationship. And what didn't make it to the notes was, and if you don't have a partner that's calling you to account, get a new one. So I'd like to hear any comments in terms of how that homework has gone for folks, particularly building that VIP list. So who has something to share?
Well, I could share one thing. I found a message for myself online. Somebody invited me to what they called capital B, capital N, capital I, B and I group. And it sounded like a good referral source. And it was all going to be health professionals. I mean, I'm out on Long Island. I wasn't too thrilled that it was in Manhattan. But it came about, and I did attend, and I did give out my cards, and I also gave a card to a professor in training, possibly, and finding out more about how to become a Rubenfeld synergist. But you know, so far I didn't, you know, nothing else really happened other than that. But it was interesting to be in a group like that. I haven't been in a group like that before. And
Someone who just joined us recently is doing a lot of mushing around and clearing things, or it sounds like they're shushing kids around.
Yeah,
them.
I hear that too.
If that person would be so kind as to put themselves on mute, that would be delightful. Keep going, Doris.
Yeah, so at any rate, I felt that that was, you know, part of the homework was to find some kind of referral. And then also, I'm also a Reiki practitioner, and I do go to these Reiki meetings once a month, and I always give out my card to particularly people that don't know me and explain what kind of work I do besides the Reiki. And someone did come to see me, said, let's exchange Reiki sessions, and I, you know, told her I'd like to touch her the Rubenfeld way, and I did for a few minutes, and she said, oh, that's impressive, but nothing has happened as yet. But I'm fine.
Very good. Who else has something to share? You're trying to tell me that none of you did your homework? I'll end the call right now and make you go do your homework. Who built a VIP list?
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, hi. I'm a trainee, so I don't know if I don't consider myself having really a VIP list. But but I do have definitely people that are talking that I've had sessions with that are talking to other people about it, and I consider them to be referral sources.
Absolutely, and some of those will become your VIP. And what mean by that shushing sound is still continuing, so you may not be aware of it, but we can all hear it, and so please, if you're doing that, mute yourself. But when we say VIP, we mean the people that are going to be the more regular referrers of you.
Yeah, so I guess what I've done is I made up packets of information, like that describes what Rubenfeld is. It has the brochures and my card, and of course my contact information, and a little, and even a flyer that they could, a visual that they could see to remind them. And so when one particular person expressed that she was just talking about Rubenfeld to a friend of hers, and she was trying to describe it, she said, "I had a really hard time describing it." And I said, "Well, would you like some information about it? So next time this happens or with this person, you could either give them my number or you could share this information." She said, "Yeah." So I gave her the information out, and that was like last week. So I don't know what's going to happen from it, but I am finding that I'm always carrying information with me now, in my car or in my purse, and I'm talking about RSM a lot more in my daily life. So I'm just getting more natural in sharing it with people. And I think once I do that, once I'm more able to share it, I'm going to find people that will become clients or that will refer me to other people.
That's great. What you just said is really, there's a lot of beautiful points in there that are worth folks paying attention to. One is you are always ready to have a conversation about Rubenfeld.
Yeah.
So you've got things in your purse, you've got things in your car, you're refining those materials to help people better help you. But there's a presence of mind that I want to underscore. And it's not like you're walking around like a stalker saying, "I'm going to find another Rubenfeld client if it kills me and I'm going to drag him in off the street." But you are in every conversation listening for what is it that you do, where can you contribute, and how can you share what you do in a way that's valuable for other people. And that's a mindset shift that's really important, because people sometimes are not mindful that everywhere they are, they're potentially meeting new clients and new people that would love to be in their practice. So they tend to think of their practice building efforts in compartments or silos rather than having their life be a full expression of what they do and what they're excited about. So that's a really beautiful demonstration of that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who else can share what they've been doing with their VIP list and referral sources?
Well, I would say that I've been meeting with more professionals lately and having it in mind to talk about the Rubenfeld synergy.
Great.
Rather than looking specifically for a list or for specific people, it's just people I connect with. Like I'm meeting with a person who works with the Upledger Institute doing craniosacral work, and I talked about Rubenfeld synergy, and we're meeting for lunch tomorrow. So it's a connection and a contact in a similar field, but still valuable. That's
perfect.
The type of thing that I'm doing more of lately, especially since this course. It's on my mind much more.
Good. Well, that's part of what I hope happened. I want to be living inside your head. And so that's great. And connecting with other professionals is really important because it does two things. One is it teaches them about another modality they may not be aware of, which is valuable to them. Two, it helps them understand another modality that may help some of their clients. And it gives you a chance to learn about them because there may be a modality that they have that would help some of your clients. So that's a really rich way of
connecting. And they also have said, the last person that I met with about a week ago said, you know, she was thinking of one client, maybe I'll refer that person. So it's in their mind.
Yes.
So by my speaking about it, it does make a difference.
Yep. Now, one of the things we talked about last time, and this is why it's important to figure out where your best referral sources are, is that they will forget fairly quickly. So you need to figure out ways to keep yourself present and in their brain so that as they're walking around and they see a situation, they may say, "Oh, that would be a great person for Rubenfeld." Because they'll forget about 1 to 4 weeks after you've spent time with them. So you've got to come up with ways that are natural and easy for you to do to have them continue to be aware of what you're doing and remember the difference you make for people. Now, that's easy if they've already referred clients to you because you're thanking them, letting them know they're doing well, or whatever those things are we talked about last week. And for those that are looking to refer you to, you need to figure out ways, whether they're on your email list or whether something else, so that you can figure out a way just to have them easily remember what you're up to, because we're all inundated with lots and lots of information, and we'll forget. Not that we want to forget, but we just will. So you want to be always looking for ways to help them do that. Whoever's typing on their fax machine, please go on.
Well, one of the ways that I've done that is that where I live, there are local marriage and family group meetings once a month and a local like mental health professional group. They're not all licensed, but it's a good way where a group of people meet every single week, every month once on a Friday, and you connect, and then you see them again a month or two later, so it is in their mind.
That's great. And if you can, one of the things you want to do is you'll notice, like on this call, there's some people that share all the time and there's some people that don't share all the time. In those groups, you're going to have some people that talk a lot about what they're up to and what they're seeing and participate, and others that don't. So when you're having these meetings, this is not a place to be shy. Now, you don't want to be saying, send all your clients to me. That's not really going to be too inspiring. But you want to participate in the discussions. You want to be recognized. You want to be heard. You want to be seen as contributing. That alone will have them have you in their head more strongly. And where you can share something from what you're doing in a way that forwards whatever the discussion is, that's an even more powerful way to do it. So it's keeping people aware of it as opposed to blatantly just saying, send all your clients to me, I'll fix all their problems, leave me alone. Very good. Who else has something to share about their homework?
This is Joan.
Mm-hmm.
And I have cultivated one referral source that's been, she hasn't referred any clients to me, but she has invited me to join different groups, her garden club and now the district management council of the garden club. And I've joined Toastmasters, and you know what I've realized is I am not going to build my practice by sitting at home, which is what I actually like to do. I like to sit at home, though. So I've really gone out. I've joined groups. I'm talking to people, meeting them, and getting my name known, and you know, meeting people and getting them to know me and what I do.
Yeah, and what you just said, Joan, is a really, seems spit simple, but it's really important. Unless you're out meeting people, people will not just guess that you're a Reuben Fellow Synergist and can help them. So, and many therapists, their comfort zone is to just hang out at home and not get out much. So that's another thing that's great that you're doing that. And the more people you meet, the more people, you know, one out of 20 or 30 will be those golden referral sources. They're going to send you a lot of clients, so it's worth finding them and keep going to more places and more places. So that's a good, it's a good habit to get into, and one that's not necessarily comfortable. But hopefully you're finding interesting people and interesting groups and making some new connections along the way.
David, you're really breaking up. Well, I can barely understand you now.
Okay,
I can hear David fine.
Okay, is everybody else hearing me okay or not?
Yes, I'm hearing
okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Phone, it may be your phone, unfortunately.
It could be.
Yep. Okay, who else has something to share about their homework?
Well, today I did do something. I was looking in the windows in the shopping center, and I saw on a table right near the windows cards, business cards of a chiropractor, of someone who gave tutoring lessons and math and so forth. And I walked right in there and said, may I put my card near the other, you know, my group of my cards near the other? And he said, yes. So that was easy. And this is like a training station gym, and where you go for private lessons all the time. So I just thought that gyms can be a good resource. made me think about that. And I said, I do mind body work. And as soon as he heard the word body, I could see his eyes opened up, you know.
Well, Doris, there's no question you are the king of the flyers and the business cards. You are not shy about getting them any place. And
yeah.
Everybody in this call can really learn from Doris, who's willing to just get her stuff out everywhere. And like all advertising, you know, you put 10 flyers out, you're not going to get 10 clients, but you might get one. And she keeps finding places to put them, which exposes her to more people and keeps finding people. That's great. Who else has something to share from your homework?
Go ahead.
I'm in the middle of something today. I had an opportunity that came up that I said yes to. There's a nursing organization that works in some of the local hospitals, and this one in particular, they're having a day today. One is for the day shift, and then I'll be going back for the night shift. And they're having a little thing where we can do mini sessions and just talk to the nurses who are taking a break from their day to give them a little refresher kind of a thing. And this morning it was really quite good and helpful, and the woman who was organizing it seemed to say, she said to me, oh, the people coming out are talking about these great things you're doing and this and that. So, and I have talked to a couple of the people who were head nurses and just said, you know, how could I do more for you guys? What are you looking for? And I'm not sure what's going to come out of this yet, but I'm hoping it will be an opening for working with self-care and nurses.
Nice. Very nice. And are you giving folks, after they've had a mini session,
yes, they're getting cards, and I'm having them sign up on an email list. Some do want to and some don't, but they all are getting, you know, cards and brochures.
Good.
So.
Sometimes, I know you'll find this shocking, but some helping professionals will do everything you were doing without actually explaining to people how to get a hold of them afterwards to do more with them because they're so focused on being of service and doing a great job, which
yep.
is admirable, but, you know, you got to take the next step. Good job. That's a terrific thing. So if there's health fairs, in service days, places like that, it's a no-stress way for people to get exposed to what you do. And since it's free and it's available right there, there's not a lot of thinking they have to go through in order to give what you're doing a try. And a lot of what we're doing, if you explain to people, they may say, eh, not really into that. But if it's just available and they can experience it without a lot of overhead and a lot of thinking, you can get past a lot of their own initial inertia barriers that are going to get in the way. That's terrific. Nice idea. I hope you're all taking careful notes on what's working for other people and looking for ways to do that in your own community, because that's part of why I spend so much time drilling into homework, because there's a lot of useful stuff that you can all get. There was someone else who was going to talk at the same time you were.
Oh, that was me, Deborah. I can't say I did a great job on my homework. Since
too much
lesson.
Tango for you. Less dancing,
yeah,
more
well,
practicing.
I'm in the process of going through something else that's exciting in my life, and I'm a little distracted. But I just was really thinking about, you know, when you say, and also when Joan was talking about kind of pushing past her edge, which would be her comfort zone, and when you say do something that's natural and easy, that sometimes you do have to sort of get into a little bit of not so much your easy natural zone, but really pushing into, like, I realize I talk about my work a lot, but I don't carry materials around with me.
Hmm.
So I don't have a card handy. I don't have a brochure handy. So, you know, I just kind of got from whoever said I'm always carrying those things with me so that I've always got something to give somebody when I'm talking about my work. And then also that I'm in a lot of other places where I could go the next step. I have a very good friend who's part of a women's networking community, and I haven't felt comfortable kind of going to that group, and I just thought, why not? You know, why not just really give myself a little push to do things in the same way maybe that people aren't speaking up during, you know, this particular conference, to just push your edge a little bit. So it's not, you know, doing something that might be completely out of your reach, but just pushing that edge might be really the important thing that I'm thinking about right now. which is to talk about myself in a way that feels a little bit self-promoting, and that might be a lot, you know, more comfortable once I just kind of give it a try.
That's great. We're going to talk more about that very thing you just said in just a little bit, so it's a great lead into that. Anybody else have anything from their homework, whether it involved getting their VIP list together or coming up with a better, nastier partner to kick your ass? Or
I have one thing.
Yeah.
And that is that I went to a chiropractor who I've known for a long time, and he knows my work and vice versa. And I said, do you have a list of local resources here in your waiting room? And he said, no, what a good idea. So I could have left it there, but I went out and got a little spiral-bound notebook and pages and put my info in there on the first page and said, here's a gift for you, for all the people, because he's a real community person. Here's a gift for you for people to put their own resources in there. And he said, what a wonderful idea. Great. Thank you. So it's in the waiting room with my info on the first page.
Beautiful. What a great idea. And I like that one of the things that you did, which was really smart, which seems really obvious, is that do you have a way for people to share resources? And he says, no. And a lot of people would have said, okay, well, he obviously thinks it's a good idea, so he's going to go do it. And what you did is you just did it for him in a way that he felt contributed to and taken care of. And I think that's a theme that we're seeing in today's conversation is your job is to take things to completion, not just get them out there. And when you take them to completion, you've got a better chance of making something happen. Sometimes that's called closing the sale, but I'm even talking about just closing the, let me get the book for you so we can make it happen kind of conversation. So that's terrific. Any other feedback from homework? Okay, we'll call the homework section of our program complete for now, and we will move on to the next item on my agenda, which is, does anyone have any results in their practice in general, like I started out with 2 clients a day, now I have 50, or anyone who's just got anything to share about the growth of their practice that just wants to give a quick shout-out about how their practice has grown, because we're now on our 4th call, so we're about 90 days-ish we've been together. Anybody have any results to share? Okay. Well, apparently people are still building their practices and still shy of the great results they've produced and not ready to share them. So we will move on.
I'm ready to share.
Well, I've been waiting.
I guess the thing that I can share is that I've restarted a client that I had before. It's a practice client.
Mm-hmm.
And I got really hung up on location, where my sessions were going to be held, and then there was an obvious answer, and which we found. And now we've restarted, and I think that has really encouraged me. I feel a lot more able to participate in the conference. I feel like I have something that I can offer and I can glean. It doesn't seem so far off to me. So, and I also have, because I'm talking more about it, I'm contacting people in my other location also, because I kind of live between 2 places. So I've got 2 people that are wanting to start up in September when school starts. So that was kind of interesting. And I kind of given up all hopes of having any clients up here. I had, for some reason, I thought that I'd be limited to having it all in Philly. So that's some growth for me rather than where I was. Yeah.
Terrific. Anyone else have a story like that they want to share? Okay. Well, then let's move on to some of the mental blocks that helping professionals have in terms of building a practice. Some of them we've already talked about tonight. One of them is just not being ready, for the conversation, not having materials with them, just not organized to do that for whatever reason. And for some people, it's like, as Deborah was saying, I don't want to feel like I'm talking about myself all the time. And one of the things to be aware of is you either have something that you're providing that's of value and people like it, or it's not. And you got to decide which one it is. And if it's something of value, then you'd better be ready to talk to people about it, because if not, you're hiding something that might be helpful to them. Now, if what you don't think you do is worth much, then don't bother. But if you think it's worth something, you're not really being of service if you're not letting people know what you're up to and how it might make a difference for them. Now, you run into this, I don't want to feel like I'm talking about myself and that puts me in the center of attention or all that other kind of stuff. But there's ways to talk about things that are inside of what's of important to other people that's a real contribution to the conversation. So it's less about look how great Deborah is and more look how cool the stuff Deborah does impacts other people's lives and makes a big difference. So this is where the power of storytelling comes in, and we're going to talk about that next week, by the way. That's just a heads up for next week and what the homework is. But storytelling is a very powerful antidote to this issue because you can start telling stories that get there. So we'll get into that later. But notice that when you're feeling like, oh, the attention's going to be on me or I don't want to have to talk about myself, check in with a spouse, check in with your partner, check in with somebody else, but the odds are great that you're making something up that isn't really real for the rest of the people in the world, and that there's a way to talk about and contribute to the conversation you're in a way that'll make a huge bit of value for people. So the key piece of it is I either have something to contribute or I don't. And if you believe that the work you do contributes to people, then stop hiding it from people, because they can't guess what a brilliant technician you are with your hands and all of your training unless you tell people. Now, there's a way you don't have to tell people, like, I'm desperate for clients, so I need you to sign up right now and be my client. That's not of service, and that doesn't really help anybody. But if you're known as someone who's interested in what people are up to, interested in forwarding their own personal movement and growth, people get very interested in that. And you can actually talk a lot about Rubenfeld without saying very much just by having a really interesting conversation with people that demonstrates you've got a level of insight and an ability to listen even before they're on the table. And if all of a sudden they experience you as someone who is more amazing than they generally run into, they're going to get very interested and curious about that. When I meet people and start talking about them, I'm coaching right off the bat. Mostly because I don't know how not to. And I'm listening deeply, and I'm inferring, and I'm intuiting, and I'm doing all of that, and I'm bringing it to bear in the conversation. And when I do, it excites people because they feel seen and heard and known in a way that they don't get from normal conversations. And I believe that all of you are well-trained enough to be able to do that for people in conversation. One of the things we talked about a few weeks ago is if you talk about the mechanics of Rubenfeld, now you're on a table, I touch you, we talk, it doesn't get very interesting. So no one really gets a feel for it. It's not particularly experiential, and for many people it sounds icky. I'm going to be on a table and you're going to touch and talk to me. I just want to take a nap and go to sleep. Can't you just give me a massage? No, that's not what we do. So getting into the technical details of what you do isn't going to inspire anybody and get anybody motivated to really get more curious. This is where you want to use the talk part of your training in your conversations with people to have them experience you as a different communicator, a highly evolved, highly trained, highly skilled communicator that is amazing, so that when they say, wow, just talking to you, I'm getting something. So I can't imagine if I'm in your office on a table getting the full Rubenfeld experience, it must be stratospheric. So you want to attune your expression in everyday life to be consistent with who you are as a synergist. So the woman who spoke earlier in the call who describes herself as only a trainee, which I will take exception with, because she's what she demonstrated was that she is living and breathing Rubenfeld. And every interaction and everything she does is about that. It's about sharing it. She's newly trained. She's excited. She's into it. This is all good stuff. But the people that are great at this and build great practices, people know them as Rubenfeld synergists because they're emoting it all the time. They're effusing it. There's an air of Rubenfeld around them. There's an air of synergy and magic, and people get better, people improve, people work things out just because they're around them, even before they touch them. And you want to make sure that you're walking around and in your life consistent with who you are. And if you're not, you're probably not going to have brochures with you. You're probably not going to have cards with you. You're probably not going to be ready to say anything. And you're probably going to be caught flat-footed when someone says, gee, you look really amazing. I'd like to learn more about what you're up to. So you got to be ready to dance all the time because you never know when someone's going to come up to you and want to dance. And that means ready to converse interactively the way you've been trained in a way that has them have a different experience. And it means having the tools and materials ready so that you can take their interest and help them amp it up. Because here's what happens for people when they're walking around. We get exposed to new ideas and new opportunities all day long. And some of them we decide we're going to invest a few extra seconds of time in. And if in those few extra seconds of time I get something back that is pretty interesting and pretty amazing, I'll invest a few more seconds. And if I don't get something back or very interesting, then likely something else will draw my attention. Now, I have made this mistake in my business career, so I'm speaking from personal experience. I often don't have business cards. And there's times when people get interested. And not having a business card, A, demonstrates you're not particularly professional, you're not that interested in new clients, and B, it dampens someone's enthusiasm. So you want to keep helping people move forward and keep saying little yeses along the way. And whenever you have something that's a block, it slows the energy down, it slows their interest down, it slows the motion down, and they decide to do something else because something else shows up that's easier for them to move along. And whereas most people are creatures of I'll go where it's easiest, I'll go with the flow where it's easiest. So one of the things that we as practitioners forget is it's our job to make it easy to do business with me. All of you, I'm sure, can remember a time when there's a business of any kind that at some point just got too difficult to do business with, and even though you liked the product, it just got annoying to do business with them, so you stopped and found somebody else. Well, we have to be easy to do business with from the first time they meet us, till the time they're in our office, till the time they're referring other people. But we've got to take all those blocks and extra steps and stuff to get over or figure out of the way. And when you do, it gets really easy. And those things are easy for anyone to do. It just requires being mindful and saying, oh, okay, what are the barriers for people being in my practice that I unknowingly put up? And how can I get rid of them? And it's a really fun exercise. So homework item number one for this week is to look through your practice on the realm of possibility, meaning somebody gets the possible idea of working with you because they met you or heard about you, all the way through to check clearing your bank. And look and just see, are there any barriers in that process that make it hard for people to be in my practice and do business with me? And it's a good idea to run that list through with your partner, because you may have procedures or processes or steps that seem important and smart to you that to your clients may be annoying. So just, you know, a lot of times people get in the mode of having all kinds of paperwork they want people to fill out. But most people hate filling out paperwork when they see a new practitioner. So I always encourage practitioners, have me fill out the least amount of paperwork that you absolutely need, that you're really going to do something with, that'll make a big difference. And other paperwork should come later in the relationship when there's a real reason for it, and then I'll be interested in filling it out. So look through your practice and just see, what barriers am I putting up to having people be in my practice, stay in my practice, and enjoy being in my practice? So that's enough talking for a moment. Any comments or questions on this content that we just chatted about?
David, this is Joan speaking. And it's interesting that you would mention about the conversation part, or using the talk portion as a synergist, because it occurred to me about a week or so ago for an elevator speech that I should be doing it like I am talking to the person in a session.
Yeah.
And so I kind of created a mock one and sent it to my partner and whatever, but and I thought, you know, that's how to work it, as far as giving them a means that I can be of benefit to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite fun doing it, actually.
Yeah.
But it fits right into what you're saying here.
Yeah, that's great. And very smart. Other comments or questions about what I just went over? Take it that was all very clear and made a lot of sense. So the other piece, just to finish up this section of this piece, is just notice this next month also what your own views and attitudes are about the practice building side of your practice. I do it, but I hate it. I'm not very good at it. Other people are better at it. I love doing it. It's the most exciting part of my practice. Actually doing the synergy work is kind of annoying. Just look and see what your story is about building a practice. And I'm not saying your story is right or wrong or good or bad, but it's useful to know what your story is. And one of the things that's in homework assignment number 2 is to review your story with your partner and discuss whether that story is empowering in helping you get where you want to get to. And if not, how could you change the story? And we'll get all these homework notes out to you, so don't worry about getting it down exactly. So that's the next piece about that. So now the next section I want to talk about just for a few minutes is, I'm calling this the clever ideas for practice building.
And say it again.
Clever ideas for practice building. So this is where we're going to just have some free-form brainstorming on what are the zaniest ways you've had a client come into your practice. I met them at my kids' Little League event, and the mother had such and such, and we went back to my car, got the table out, and while the kids were playing Little League, I did a session. So what are the craziest situations or ways that a new client came into your practice? So I want to hear from a bunch of you about that. So, craziest.
This was
way.
A few years ago. I went to a high school reunion and talked to someone who had been in my homeroom class, and he came to me for some sessions.
Nice. Very good. I love it. Who else? Who else had a crazy way they've added a client in their practice?
When I was working for the FAA, I traveled a lot, several weeks out of the month, and I was always traveling. I was always work groups or some group of people, and most times I ended up giving at least one person a session. right in the you know, in the hotel room, or not on a table because I didn't have one. But I'd put cushions on the floor, or I'd do something and give people sessions.
Very nice. So you were able to bring Rubenfeld to where you were, and because you were hanging out with a group of people, and usually at night after whatever you were doing during the day, talking about what else people were interested, it was a safe setting, and people liked you already for what you were already doing. When you talked about that, they said, wow, that's really interesting. Can you tell me more?
Exactly. And I say, oh, well, why don't you come, you know, by after dinner, and I'll give you a session. I did that many, many times.
That's brilliant. And notice that you didn't get limited by, oh, I don't have my table, I don't have the right setup, I don't have my this or that. You made it work with whatever the tools were around you.
Yeah, I did the same thing, Joan. When I was at OFFS, one of the things I do is I officiate basketball, and I was at Ontario Provincial Championships. And it's quite stressful, but I ran into a young man who was studying psychology, and he was very interested in the body-mind aspect of psychology. And I said, well, you're talking to the right person, right? So I ended up giving him a session one evening, like in the hotel room, just, you know, kind of working around the bed. But it was really great, and he loved it. So he wanted to look up a synergist where he was located, which was Ottawa. So that was kind of a neat thing too.
Yeah, and that's a terrific thing. You can build practices for each other, by the way, because you're all ambassadors in the world about Rubenfeld, not just for your own practice. And the more people hear about Rubenfeld, you know, it could be, you might run into somebody at a conference, do a practice session for them, and they may be on the phone with their sister that night saying, I had this really interesting experience, and the sister may say, wow, that sounds like that would be exactly what I need. How do I find somebody in my area? The person comes back to you and says, are there anybody that do what you do in, you know, Boat Slip, Pennsylvania? And the person says, well, let me look on my handy-dandy referral list. And sure enough, there is. So, and the more that you are out in the world representing synergy, the more likely clients are going to show up in your practice from somewhere else that you had nothing to do with. That's great. Who else has an unusual place where they did a session or found a client?
Well, did a little piece of RSM. Once in the hospital where I was working, a social worker came out of a session, and she was just really frazzled, and I didn't know her very well. I got to know her later, but I just did a little shoulder release with her right in the hallway. She was a little taken aback, but she enjoyed it, and that was a nice thing. And I just sort of stepped right in because I just could see what would have been good for her, and she accepted that. Another time I was... my mother's doctor was looking very exhausted, and so after a moment, it was just a perfect situation with him where I just invited him to, through his body, through my touching his shoulders, I invited him to just release some of those pressures of the day, and he just really responded well. But it wasn't a client for me, for checks and money, but it was just doing what I do.
But what's interesting is what you're talking about is the point I'm trying to demonstrate is that if you are a synergist in your life 24/7, and as you walk around you see a place you can make a difference, that will build your practice. And the difference is you were willing to say, gee, I think I can be of service to you. I'm sure you did it in a way that was gentle and helpful, mm-hmm. and it made a difference for somebody. And that's the place where, as a helping professional, that's an easy place for you guys to step into. Now, what I'm not suggesting you do is say, gee, your shoulders look like they're all screwed up. I think you should come to my office and have a session with me. It's $8 million, and I'll see you Tuesday. Because that's not going to be a comfortable conversation for any of you. But if you give somebody a taste of it in an easy-to-experience situation, some of those folks are going to say, how do I come back and get more of this? Not all of them. But, again, it's a place to keep demonstrating consistency and constancy of who you are and what you do. Beautiful example. Anybody else got one?
Well, I remembered something that happened a few years ago. Again, I was at a body therapy, like mechanical type of body therapy, not massage, but neuromuscular, something with intense body work. And some lady was out in the hall who was pregnant and was suddenly hyperventilating. And somebody thought I was a doctor, because I say Dr. Goodstone, I'm a PhD, but they called me over. So I went over and I just put my hand on her back and I asked her to breathe more calmly, and she just calmed down and let down and she was fine. And they were all amazed standing there. They said, "What did you do?" And I didn't get a client from it, but I just remembered that situation.
That's great. Very good. Any other ones like this?
Well, I just by hearing people talk, it brought back a memory of somebody used to live on my block and did go to the same nursing home that my mother-in-law went to. And I saw this man and the wife there and the nursing home, and they just suddenly remembered that I did that kind of work, although they never experienced it, and just said, "Hey, my shoulder is killing me. Can you do something here?" Nobody seems to give a hoot about this here in the home. And I did do that for about 10 minutes, worked on his shoulder. And he was very grateful. He said, "I wish I could do something back for you." But, you know, it was really, it was in a nursing home, and they were already, you know, residents in the nursing home. And so, but it felt good because they kept complimenting me on how, you know, well that helped, you know, the shoulder and made him feel better, and said, "Why don't you teach somebody here how to do it?" One of the nurses or, you know, staff. So that hearing these stories brought back that memory to me.
That's great. And one of the things that reminds me of that I think you should remind yourself is, you guys were not inconsequentially trained. You went through a 3 or 4 year program with a lot of on-site sessions, mentoring, other kinds of stuff, and practice. So it was not trivial what it took to get you to be trained to do what you do. So it's no surprise that you were able to do something, Doris, that people were unexpecting and found a lot of value from, because you're a very well-trained human being in a very specific modality. And again, the more chances you have to demonstrate those skills, the more that we're going to grow the impact of RSM in the world, and the more you're going to see your practice grow. That's great stuff.
This is the most bizarre thing, but I want to share it. I didn't do it myself. Another center just did it. I was a little horrified. There was somebody who was going to be married. He was walking to the marriage ceremony. And a fellow synergist said, "Here, before you go, just lie down here." Put down a sheet on the ground right away. He lay down on the ground. She put her hands under his shoulders. She said, "Okay, right now, one shoulder only. Okay, now, right now, what do you need to release?" And she did a shoulder release. He did his thing, and he went off to get married.
Love it.
It was wild. I was quite horrified, but it stuck in my mind.
Why were you horrified about it?
Because he was all dressed up to go get married, and it looked like
what
she interrupted
him. Mind?
She interrupted the process, but I guess she knew him pretty well, so.
Yeah. Do I have to be dressed a certain way to have Rubenfeld be benefited?
Well, you know me, the show must go on here.
Exactly. So, but notice that you were horrified about that, and the groom
it stayed with me.
About it.
And I thought about it since then, because if you're going to make a big step in your life, there does need to be something you need to release.
Yeah, that's
it was
brilliant.
A very cool move. She was brilliant, and you know, very gutsy.
Yeah. So notice for yourself where you're holding back sharing the gifts that you have been supremely trained to deliver. And that's part of what that story is about, who you are as a synergist. We want to start digging into what's your own story and shtick about building a practice that really may not support what you're up to. So really be mindful of that over the next couple of weeks. And if you're having sessions with another synergist, it may be something useful to focus on for yourself during that session. Use some of your own cooking to actually deal with your own whatever issues you've got on your own about practice building. So keep that in mind when we're going forward. So I want to talk about the last piece of homework for next week, and then I've got a challenge for you all. And you've already got the first two homework assignments, and we'll send them out by notes because I've already forgotten what they are. But the third one is come prepared to share at least one-minute story about a Rubenfeld session you did for somebody. But you have to be able to tell the story in a minute, so it can't be a 10-minute setup with all about the person's life and 64,000 things that happened to them and how you met them and how they got into your practice and all. You got to really edit it down to the essence of the story and be prepared to share the essence of the story, which is I had this married guy in my practice. He was 36. He complained that every time he walked to the grocery store, he felt terrified and his legs were strange. And we had several sessions together, and we discovered that when he was 5, a grocery store shelf fell on him, and he couldn't walk for 6 months, and he'd completely forgotten about it. And we were able to, through a series of work together, release some of that. And now he loves going to the grocery store. In fact, he bought a whole chain of them and is the CEO. But you see how that was a minute story? It was probably 30 seconds. But that's the brevity of it, and I made the whole thing up, so don't be looking for that guy to see if you can work with him. But I want you each to come next week with a story like that, because we're going to be talking about the use of stories in communicating Rubenfeld and its potency in building your practice.
Well, you just said next week. You said
next month, next time, whenever we're together.
Oh, okay. What is the date for the next session? Do you know it?
Sometime after September 13th.
I don't have it in front of me, but we will send it out, Doris.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And it's on the website.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Any questions about the homework before I go into the challenge game?
It's September 28th.
Thank you.
September
28th? Okay, thank you.
Any questions about the homework? Good. I expect you all to do an impeccable job about it. If your partner is not keeping you accountable and you're having too many pleasant conversations, fire them and get a new one. So here's the challenge. For any of you who have 5 new paying clients in their practice between, actually we'll make it 3 because it's a short month, 3 new paying clients in their practice by next session and send me an email attesting to same, they will get a bonus practice building session with me at the end of this course.
Wow.
But you got to add
Starting now to then?
Now till the time we're together. And I have to have the email before the class starts saying I did such and such and these are the 3 new clients and I don't need their names and all their personal details, but you got to let me know I've added 3 new paying clients to my practice. That's the game. Get 3 new paying clients in your practice by the time we get together next. Do it naturally. Do it inspiredly. Do it with all the stuff we've been talking about and practicing together. But grow your practice. It's time to put all this stuff that we've been putting and talking about, all the flyers you've been passing out, Doris, all the brochures you guys are carrying around, all the new ways you're learning to talk about it. It's time to put the pedal to the metal and get some clients in the door experiencing the brilliance that you were so well trained for. So 3 new paid clients gets you an additional practice building session with me. It'll be the special VIP Masters Club. So. Now, some of you may say, I've had enough of that guy, so that's a dumb prize, but we'll work that out later on. So that brings us to the end of our 4th teleclass together. Thanks for all your participation, your stories, your commitment to getting RSM out in the world and viable, and I look forward to hearing from you all in the coming month. By the way, we have a blog where people are sharing ideas, what's working and what's not working. We've only had 6 posts since last time. 6 is better than 0, but given that there's about 40 people in this class, this is another very fertile place to be going and posting ideas, what's working, what's not working. You could argue about stuff I'm saying. It's a safer place, perhaps, to say that Goldsmith guy's an idiot, doesn't know anything about what we're doing. I don't know why he thinks he can teach us anything about practice building.
Can I just say something, because I'm in charge of the blog. There is no access for other people to write a blog post. All they can do is comment right now.
Right.
If somebody would want to write a post, they'd have to send it to me, and then we would put it up. But I'm really encouraging people to put comments down.
Right.
It's just a start to get used to
using
it.
Write it up, send it, we'll get it posted. It's not that hard. So use the blog, use all the tools, use your partner, be kind to each other, go make a difference, go out in the world, make RSM viable, make your practices viable. We'll speak to each other in September. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Hmm.